Decision Wisconsin coverage continues. This is overnight coverage of a 2024 presidential election. Now, here to bring you through the entire evening, here's your host, Steve Scafidi.
And good morning. Sort of resetting for everybody. James Whitterson is alongside as well in studio for another half hour or so. And thanks very much to James, because I ask you a lot of you every Tuesday, and then you volunteered to come in. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, this has been fun.
Yeah, and I don't know about you, but I stay up anyway. I typically don't go to bed during the presidential election.
I'd be in my recliner right now with a bunch of snacks and cursing and swearing at the coverage. So
here's the good thing. I've had all these snacks. I've only barely eaten any of them, so that's probably a good thing as well. I got a lot of texts from people, and somebody had a great question. And by the way, you can weigh in on the WTMJ Talking Text Line. For the next 3 hours, I'm here, and we're going to have a conversation about this. How you're feeling? What do you think? What's the questions? We got a great question. This is from the 262 for both of us. Can you comment on what President Trump's win tonight might mean in light of his legal complications and convictions? That's from Steve in Hartford. I'll let you go first.
Well, it brings everything to a halt. I mean, he still has the one conviction in New York City.
That doesn't go away.
That doesn't go away. What happens with that is the judge is going to have to take into account the fact that
right.
He's now sentencing the president-elect. That does not go away. But the federal investigations, those will go away. He's going to fire the special prosecutor. It's going to be the Saturday Night Massacre all over again, for those of you who are students of history. And so all the federal investigations are done. And as far as the state investigation in the state of Georgia into election tampering there, I would imagine that's pretty much done, too.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but when he comes into office, he can essentially fire most of the people that are responsible for these investigations and all of that.
Yeah, you can fire any of the
special
federal prosecutors.
Yeah.
The special prosecutor is not appointed by the Congress and is not an independent office.
So big picture, that act, because we're going to get to another story about pardoning that I think a lot of people are going to pay close attention to, I would think that Americans would look at that and say, well, he's just allowing himself to basically do whatever he wants, giving the president, the office of president, unleashed, unlimited power with those actions.
Well, we've already seen that the Supreme Court has been willing to grant him quite a bit of immunity and say to him that whatever you do as part of your official duties, even if it's illegal, you'll still have immunity. Which is a ridiculous ruling, in my opinion. But I don't think the American people are going to mind seeing that all that drama go away. And they're just going to have to deal with the new drama that Donald Trump is going to bring.
The other piece of the puzzle is the January 6th convictions, of which I think there's 1,200 plus now. And there was a new one brought today. And there's still people that are at large they're looking for. The president has indicated, at least in his campaign, that he is going to pardon those people. That's sort of a interesting way to look at our justice system, because these people, many of them, pled guilty.
Yeah, I think that what you're going to see, though, is in that case, is you're going to see many of them pardoned, enough of them that he fulfills his promise to them. And also you're going to see an end to the investigation. He's going to shut that down. It's a painful experience in this country's history, and I think that Donald Trump is certainly not going to want this to continue to drag on into his administration. And he's made a promise to those people. And some of those people, they committed vicious crimes. They assaulted police officers. We had police officers die as a result of that attack. Yeah. I mean, the Capitol Police have got to be wondering today, you know, does America back the blue or not?
I promise you a sort of a reset. Looking at the latest numbers from AP estimates that are on our website, 620WTMJWTMJ.com, I should say. For president, Donald Trump has 51.3% of the vote, with about 92% counted so far. We're waiting, of course, for Milwaukee and a few other general count communities. I think Tulsa is one of them. But here's where it gets interesting, James. The race for U.S. Senate. Eric Hovde has 50% of the votes. There's 92% counted. Tammy Baldwin is currently 47.8, but there are obviously 8% left. The Baldwin campaign, we were reading it during the break, they're not conceding this. Their campaign spokesperson for the Baldwin campaign basically said, we think we have the votes to overcome this lead. This race is not over. Hovde has not won this race. That's probably why we haven't heard speeches yet.
No, it was, and it won't be over even if she does overcome this lead. You're going to have to go through a period where they do the official canvass.
You said before recount, right? Recount?
I think we're in recount territory. We're going to go through the period where there's the official canvass. Both sides are going to say that they believe that they owe it to their supporters to have the recount. If Hovde is behind, he's going to say that he owes it to his supporters. Same thing with Baldwin. And it's going to be within that margin.
Given all of these late night antics that we all hear about, we certainly heard about the shenanigans and the ballot chopping and that stuff, do you think after this election, Republicans have won the highest office, they've done pretty well across the country, will we see finally, in the couple states remaining, James, count the ballots right away when they come in? This waiting till everything's done, it seems silly to me. When most of the states don't do it that way. Florida, for example, which was a train wreck in 2000, they counted all their votes in like 3.5 hours.
Yeah, I would say that we should expect from our state leaders that they should at least allow the processing of the absentee ballots ahead of time. If you're not going to allow the counting, at least allow the ballots to be smoothed out.
Flattened, ready to shove
into the machine, accounted for. All the things that clerks need to do before they begin to count those absentee ballots. Allow them to do it ahead of time so the process goes a lot smoother. Eliminate the central count that way. Eliminate the late night ballot drop. And let Wisconsin have an election result before 11 p.m. We can do that. But the Republicans in the state Senate have to allow it.
I'm going to make a prediction. This win by Donald Trump gives them permission to do that. Because if Donald Trump loves it in Florida, where he did very well, he certainly should love it winning the state of Wisconsin.
I'm going to tell you, the paranoid wing of the Republican Party is afraid that if the Democrats know ahead of time how many votes were counted, they're going to say that the Democrats know how many votes to steal. And it's this paranoid rationale for blocking progress.
All right, we'll try to reset you on a couple other races that matter in the state of Wisconsin. I'm not going to get into the referendums because Vince and Eric will cover all of that in the morning. There's so many of them. That's another whole conversation with the number and the volume of referendums around school districts in the state of Wisconsin. That's an impact on your tax bill that probably doesn't get talked about enough. We'll take a break here. One more segment with the great writer, conservative writer James Wickerson, who joins me every Tuesday on the program. One more break, one more segment with James, and then I got it for the rest of the way. So fire up that text line, 855-616-1620. I'm excited to talk with you. I don't get this much time on my show, so I'm looking forward to the extra time in the middle of the night. I feel like Art Bell, James Wickerson. Now, that's an old person reference. My producer Matt's going, who the hell is Art Bell?
UFOs. We need more UFOs.
Where's that spooky music? Quick break here on 620 WTMJ. You're listening to Decision Wisconsin on 620 WTMJ. I wonder if I'm going to have a voice by the morning. I got to do 2 more hours at 9 to 11. I'll have a voice. Plenty of coffee and tea. Two hours of sleep.
Tea is good for it.
Yeah, a little honey.
A little honey, yeah.
I forgot, we were just talking during the break, and I said we want to read, a texter had sort of a commentary that I want to get your thoughts on. Stephen James, very happy his tone was not of any gloating. That may come later, but at least not tonight. Perhaps we can move forward positively, begin the repairs the country needs, and get us back on a prosperous track. That's Gary from Portage. I love Gary. He's been a fan of my show forever, and I met him a couple times, and he's a great guy. But to that point, we were both surprised that it wasn't negative. Now, maybe that's when you win a race like this, maybe that's the time where you sort of move away, because he did a lot of that at the end of the campaign. It was as nasty as it got. I mean, he called his opponent. I don't know. Did he mention Kamala Harris in that statement? I don't think so.
I don't think he mentioned her at all.
Yeah.
Like I said, he did have the one mention of the media calling them the enemy.
Yes.
But other than that, it was a pretty gracious speech, and he was thanking people. And he was inviting people up on the stage and thanking his family and his campaign manager, who he almost fired a few weeks ago. I thought it was, I actually was rather pleased that it was the tone that he took. I don't think that tone is going to last. He kept it short.
He did. For Trump, yes.
For Trump, the whole rocket thing was one of his segues that he has stolen from his rallies.
He was almost gracious. He was inviting his family. You
know, almost nostalgic about the fact that he's not going to be doing his rallies anymore. Though I can't imagine that they're going to stop him from doing rallies once he takes office.
Well, if you remember his first term, he essentially did his rally in the White House press room. He would go on and on and on. And he made that sort of a battle. I anticipate that will be the same thing. I guess I'll ask you the question. What do you think the relationship between the press, or how will it change between this version and the last version?
He enjoys the jousting back and forth. This goes back to when he was a developer in New York. This was before he even entered politics. He enjoyed the fight back and forth with the media. And he even created fake personas to give the media tips about himself. As much as he dislikes the media, he also invites in the reporters that he complains the most about and has them do interviews because he likes the idea of being interviewed by Bob Woodward, for example. As much as he runs Bob Woodward down, he enjoys the prestige and the attention. It's going to be a continuation of the relationship is going to be, I'm going to use him as a punching bag, and at the same time, I'm going to use him as my megaphone.
Texter asked this question earlier on the text line, and it's sort of spinning now, so I have to kind of remember what they said, but it was sort of this, I'm paraphrasing. If he doesn't do Celebrity Apprentice, is he president of the United States once and now twice?
Well, you know, he still was a media personality, even aside from Celebrity Apprentice.
Yeah, I mean, but that was a big...
He did, you know, a couple movie things. And,
yeah.
And he was always doing interviews, and he talked about running for president for a long time. I pointed out to Bill McCoshin recently that Bill Buckley himself had criticized the potential of a Donald Trump run back in 2000. Donald Trump was considering making a run for president then. Donald Trump was pronouncing on politics on television back during the Reagan era and criticizing President Reagan. This is a guy who's always managed to find the media spotlight, whether it's an interview in Playboy magazine or an appearance on the morning talk shows.
I got to ask this question because it's not just about today. And of course, in January, when he's, becomes the 47th president of the United States, it's also about the next 4 years after that. So we have Nikki Haley, who most people, I was one of these people. If she would have been the candidate, I think she would have won easier than Donald Trump. Well, maybe not, but, that's what most people thought. So 2028, we have, I think, three people now. We have J.D. Vance, who's going to be vice president for 4 years. That has been a springboard. It's not guaranteed, obviously. Vice President Kamala Harris is an example of that. We have Ron DeSantis, who is a very popular governor of Florida, the state of Florida, who frankly didn't beat Donald Trump when a lot of people thought he would. And then we have Nikki Haley. What is 28, obviously 4 years out plus, what does that look like?
Well, you also have Glenn Youngkin. He's the
absolutely.
He's the governor of Virginia.
All of a sudden, that Republican field is pretty strong.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily call it strong, but it'll be interesting. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
I think Haley has run into a political dead end.
I think so, too.
I don't think that...
She was ignored on the campaign.
She was ignored on the campaign, and I don't think that there's anybody in the Republican Party that's ever going to trust her again for anything. Chris Christie's done. I mean, you can run down the list of people that are done. Marco Rubio may decide that he's got a future again running for president.
What does Trump call him? Little Marco?
Little Marco.
Yeah.
And since now Little Marco seems to like the like the abuse.
Right. Just like Ted Cruz.
But always keep in mind that there's always the possibility that in the next election cycle, some new star may step forward. Somebody else that might catch the attention, that lightning in the bottle that I referred to earlier. Barack Obama had that magic moment, and he stepped onto the national stage from practically nowhere.
Let's give equal time to the Democrats. Obviously, a bruising loss for Kamala Harris. What's next for them?
What's next for them is they really have to rethink their message, and they're going to have to be prepared to, in 4 years, be prepared to address what Donald Trump has did as president. And they are going to have the advantage that Donald Trump can't run for re-election again, but they're going to have to find a candidate that has that spark, that magic that Barack Obama brought to them when he was running for president. That it turns out that in many ways that this is a personality contest as well as a contest of resumes. They're going to have to find that guy that can capture the average person.
I only got a couple of minutes left with my guest, my friend James Wigderson, who joins me every Tuesday on the program, usually right out of the gate at 9:08. I ask my journalist guest this always. What are you going to be talking about next week when it comes to politics? What do you think?
Well, the first thing I'm going to be talking about is, you know, we need to not give in to despair. If you're a Trump critic,
I'm going to do a whole hour on that subject this morning. So,
you know, and you need to prepare yourself for the fact that, you know, in 4 years there'll be another election. We survived Woodrow Wilson jailing opponents, and we survived all sorts of things in our history. We'll get through Donald Trump. It's not going to be pretty if you're not happy with his policies. It's certainly not going to be a happy time, but
you know what drives me nuts?
That's what we're going to be talking about.
You know what drives me nuts? When Donald Trump says he's the greatest president ever, because in my mind, there's no other one greatest president than George Washington.
Or Abraham Lincoln.
Or Abraham Lincoln.
We'll have that debate sometime.
Two heavy lifters in the arena of presidents. That frustrates me. But before we send you out of here, for the fans of Donald Trump, for the voters of Donald Trump, this is a huge win tonight, and I don't want to discount that, because here's the bottom line. I'm going to talk a lot about this in the next couple hours. Americans send a message with their votes. You only get to do it for president every 4 years. And they have said pretty loudly and clearly, especially if you're talking about winning the popular vote, which I didn't expect, and I don't think a lot of people expected. Polls being polls, they're always interesting, and we'll probably do all that, all the crosstabs on that over the weeks and months ahead. He accomplished something that was not easy to accomplish. He took 4 years off. He was beaten. He ran again. And from all accounts, is going to run up a pretty decent win tonight, or tomorrow, I should say, in a third go-around for President of the United States. Pretty impressive.
I think we're going to be looking at the transformation of the Republican Party in the long term. There's going to be a lot of Trump emulation going on. We're going to be, and I think that his supporters have certainly taken over the Republican Party. It's a party I no longer feel comfortable with, but it's a change, and in parties change. You can't vote for candidates just on the basis of whether or not they're sponsored by the letter R. This is in Sesame Street, and you can't do it on the basis if they're sponsored by the letter D. You have to make a choice on the qualities of the candidate that you're given. And Americans are going to have to adjust to the fact that Donald Trump's president for 4 years, and then we'll see.
He is James Wigerson, friend and a great contributor to my show. Thanks for coming in. I know you didn't have to do this, and I appreciate having the chance to kind of talk to you about all this stuff in a much longer format than we usually get. So I appreciate you taking the time.
Well, thanks for having me on, Steve. I really enjoyed it.
Absolutely. You'll hear me on Tuesday, of course, on the Political Power Hour. So I've got a lot of time left. I want to hear from you. I'm going to talk about some of the things James just raised when it comes to despair, because there's a lot of people tonight who are not happy about the victory by the Trump campaign and some of the other races as well. I'll talk about despair, because there's a lot of women out there, and I'd love to hear from you on the text line, 855-616-1620. What you're feeling, what you think might come next from that perspective, and talking about women's health care and abortion, all that stuff. We're going to cover a lot of the ground. We're also going to see if we can connect with Jeremy Janine again. He's at Central Cal, I think still there. The latest on those votes that are still out there, still have to be assembled and counted. That could impact the race for U.S. Senate. Hovde Baldwin. Baldwin campaign says, we think we can still win this. We'll talk about all of that and more on a special all-night edition of Decision Wisconsin on 620 WTMJ. Special all-night edition of Decision Wisconsin on 620 WTMJ. Steve Scafidi, host of Political Power Hour. I'll be back at 9 o'clock in the morning. So basically, I'm going to work till about 5-ish. Vince and Eric will cover it all for you. Somebody asked, why don't you cover every... I'm not going to sit here and read every race in the state of Wisconsin. There's a lot of them. I'll give you some highlights. We'll reset a couple. I do need an update on the Dewey Strobel, Jody Habish-Sinikin race. I had both of them on the show recently, and I'd love to see the latest. And I, last count I had, Sinikin was up by, looks like a couple, almost 1,500 votes. So that's the last I have. I'm not saying that's the current totals. Joining us again on the WTMJ hotline is Jeremy Janine, joins me on Tuesdays on WTMJ at Central Count from Urban Milwaukee. All right, what do we know, Jeremy?
There's action, and if action is watching paint dry for you, you've come to the right place.
Yes.
They are going machine babying the Election Commission Chief Inspector Paulina Gutierrez and the deputy, Stephanie. Mm-hmm. Are going machine by machine with bipartisan observers with them, a Republican and a Democrat, and they are breaking those seals that were such a controversial thing earlier, and they're inserting a USB drive, and they're exporting all the ballots on each machine, and then probably within, at the pace they're going, maybe 20 minutes, they'll be taking off for the county courthouse and delivering the results there, and that's still probably altogether at least an hour away, but things are happening.
So one of the things that's sort of still simmering out there is the race for U.S. Senate, and the Baldwin campaign has said they think they can still win this thing. There's about a 60,000 vote margin that they think these votes, some of these votes, can overcome. When might we know? And it has to make that journey, as you said, what those votes might show in that race.
Yeah, so the key thing is they're printing out right now of this machine how many votes are in the machine. It doesn't tell you what those votes specifically are, whether for Harris, Trump, Baldwin, Hovde, whatever state assembly race, state senate race. They just tell you the total. So I'm going to look at my watch right now, and I'm going to guess about 3:45 we'll have a definitive answer.
3:45. Perfect for me because I'm on till 5 this morning. So, have you been at Central Count before during this process as a journalist?
Yeah, I was here in 2022. I was here in 2020. I've been to several minor races, in which case I'd be sleeping by this point. But yeah. I've been here very late in 2020, in kind of a similar thing how 2020 ended is what's happening right now.
So give me a sense from that historical perspective. How does this one feel? Obviously, all the angst and anger of 2020. Does it feel more, other than the snafu earlier with the tabulators, does it feel more organized, more sort of orchestrated?
So one thing, no one's wearing a mask today, which is actually helpful.
That's a good one. Yes.
to read the room, read how people's facial reactions across the room when Senator Johnson was here earlier. If it was 2020, you wouldn't have been able to understand what his facial reactions were. From now, you can kind of read his face from across the room. That's a big change. The room is also just tremendously bigger, and that's been a great asset in terms of access for observers. There's way more room for observers to watch. It's also clearly an asset for workers because there's more areas to put ballots out to sort them when you're opening ballots, flattening them out. There's just more room, and that's been tremendously helpful here at the Barrett Center.
Urban Milwaukee's Jeremy Janine joining me on a special edition of Decision Wisconsin on 620 WTMJ. You're kind of occupied by that act that's happening at Central Counts. Have you had time to sort of assess what's going on in the world of politics, in these races? What are people saying? What are you hearing? I know you look at social media. What sense are you getting from all of this?
Yeah, well, in 2020, it was clear that these votes that were being exported were probably going to be a deciding factor for Biden, and they were. They switched from like a 20,000-point deficit to a 20,000-point lead. What we're seeing right now, and you mentioned a 60,000-vote margin that the Baldwin campaign hopes to make up, I think based on historical norms, knowing there's about 108,000 votes here right now, they probably have a really good chance of making that up.
Interesting, interesting. Jeremy Janine, Urban Milwaukee. All right, go back to what you were doing. If you have a final update at some point, I'll be here till 5. You can just jump on. We'll take you live. Always appreciate wisdom and your great work in the area of journalism. Jeremy Janine, thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
All right, I got a break coming up here. If you have a thought or a comment on the race, the presidential race, the U.S. Senate race, any race in Wisconsin, 855-616-1620. I'll certainly read those comments, try to answer those questions, but I'm going to talk a little bit after the break about how some people are feeling, because I'm getting people sending me texts on my phone. I'm getting some emails from folks who are let me just say, really, really devastated by the news. And obviously, they're supporters of Kamala Harris. In more cases than one, they're women who don't see this as a great development for all the reasons we've talked about before. So welcome those comments. I'm going to talk a little bit about the despair that some people are feeling. And I want to be fair about this, because for the supporters of Donald Trump, for Republicans, this is a big win today. So let's not discount that. And I'm an eternal optimist. I hope that the mood of Donald Trump in his comments to his supporters in Florida tonight is sort of representative of what this next 4 years might be. Maybe that's naive, but I hope not. Quick break here on 620 WTMJ. Thanks for joining me in the overnight, late night here on 620 WTMJ. I haven't done this in a long time. Probably more hours on the radio than I've done in a long time as well. Thanks for listening. Decision Wisconsin, late night edition. Sort of covering some of the races. A texter asked me about the Style Barca race. Not really that close. Style, 56% of the vote. That's with 96% reporting over Peter Barca. Gwen, the other races, Gwen Moore won easily. Scott Fitzgerald won easily. None of these are surprises. Glenn Grothman. Still waiting on an update on the Dewey Strobel race. If someone has an update on that, send it my way. 855-616-1620. Got a caller. First caller of the show. I haven't taken a caller in a long time. Scott calling from South Milwaukee. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Stephen. Thanks for taking my phone call.
Sure.
Just what I want to say about the results of this election, whatever, is that the United States, we might as well not even have a criminal justice system anymore, because all that this election proves, and we might as well not even call it a presidency anymore. We might as well just call it a king, whatever, because all that this election proves, whatever, is that if you have money, if you have influence, if you put people in the right place, you can commit as many crimes as you want to. You can be impeached. You can be impeached, whatever, multiple times. You can break the laws. You can be convicted, whatever, 34 times of felonies, whatever, by a jury of your peers, whatever. And according to the American people, whatever, who complain about crime and criminals and illegal immigrants, none of that matters. Where because they just reelected whatever, a person who embodies the criminal element of this, whatever, of this country, and they just approved that behavior. So the next time anybody who's out there complains, whatever, that the criminal justice system is too lenient, whatever, or not tough enough, all that they need to do, whatever, is look at the gentleman who was just reelected as president.
It's an interesting
in America.
Let me just answer
in
that
America,
quickly.
Whatever,
Scott. It's an interesting argument, because here I completely understand what you're saying. I am not a fan of a decision to pardon the individuals who riot in the Capitol, hurt people, injured police officers, beat on police officers. And I think it sets a bad precedent. But here's the bottom line: voters have spoken that this individual, Donald Trump, former president, is the person they want leading the country at this time. All the things you said may be true, but voters have said pretty remarkably, in my opinion, that this is the individual we want to be president. And voters decide. Last time I checked, that's how these things are decided.
And Steve, I agree with you. The voters did decide, whatever, but he had the inside straight, whatever, when it came to the inside the machine and inside the criminal justice system, to delay, whatever, and back it off. Had this trial or the cases gone to court, whatever, in normal due process of time, he would have already been convicted, whatever, of serious federal crimes, more than likely. Again, we didn't hear the evidence come out, et cetera. But my guess is that had that documents case gone to trial, whatever, in Florida, he would have been convicted of that.
And
with that federal action, whatever, he would have been, again, don't know what the penalty would have come down as, whatever, but also same thing with the case in the case in Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever, again, but it was he put the right people on the Supreme Court who gave him friendly rulings, whatever, on his behalf, whatever, and it just led to delay. And again, the American people, whatever, obviously no longer value character, whatever in our elected leaders.
Thanks for the call,
whatever,
Scott.
And anybody.
Thanks for the call, Scott. I appreciate it. I got to let you go. Look, I'll go back to what I just said. Voters decide these things. I could agree with almost everything you said. You could be a convicted criminal, a felon, and amazingly, in my opinion, win a significant victory for president. I didn't see it coming. I'm not a fan of Donald Trump. I did not see this coming. Was it possible? Sure. Anything can happen. Most people thought Hillary Clinton was going to win in 2016. Didn't happen. Which launched us on a epic political journey with one of the most unique figures in American politics. And the story's not done. We're still in the middle of the book. What might happen? All right, I'm going to take a break. Got a break coming up here. I want to talk about some of the people who are hurting tonight. I know some of these people very well. Members of my family, texters have chimed in. We are not happy tonight with the results of this election. And I want to spend a little bit of time on this. I welcome calls, 855-616-1620. Absolutely. Scott, I try to give him as much time as I could. Obviously very animated about this. The crimes committed by Donald Trump, charged, which probably will never go forward now. Most of the people that are working on those cases will be eliminated when Donald Trump's in office. The convictions for all those January 6th defendants will probably be erased through pardon. And somebody was just charged today. It's an amazing piece of the story. American voters overwhelmingly decided, doesn't matter. Don't care. Donald Trump, he's the guy. For whatever reason you think that might be, economy, border policy, crime, pick one. Voters decided. All of us, as hard as this is, have to respect that. Because if we don't respect it, we get chaos. A comment on despair. We'll get to the top of the hour news after this on 620 WTMJ. Taking the overnight shift here at WTMJ, Decision Wisconsin. I've used those two words so often over the last year. Took over the podcast duties for Decision Wisconsin, probably did 100 different podcasts with election experts, strategists, candidates, political experts. I mean, you name it. And I've had a sort of a college course on every element of a campaign for president, more so than I had last time. And I was saying at the beginning of the show, I came in right after the 2016 victory by Donald Trump. Was hired by WTMJ and spent the next 4 years talking about that tenure, which was rocky and crazy. And then we obviously had the change with Joe Biden winning the nomination, then the presidency. The pandemic hit us and changed everything. And now this race, which is going to be written about for generations. Donald Trump, the second president to win non-consecutive terms. That's historical by any measure. Real quick, before I'm going to get to, after the top of the hour news, I'm going to do sort of a update on where the states that are left. I can tell you, looking at the Electoral College map, it's a wipeout. Kamala Harris obviously going to win some big states on the western side of the United States, a few eastern seaboard, and couple states in the Midwest, but other than that, it's a clean sweep for Donald Trump. But I want to talk a little bit about the women that are out there that are not feeling comfortable with the Donald Trump win. And again, understand it's a senior citizen male, white male, talking about women's rights and women's health and abortion, but let's not discount people's feelings about this race. As much as people celebrate the victory, and they should, not easy to be president, to win a race for president. But there are a number of individuals, and I'm watching some of the monitors here in the studio, and I'm seeing longtime Democrats in complete despair about the results tonight. And that is hard for some people to understand. I have family members, I have friends, I have neighbors who are despondent about this result. Now, Trump has said things like, Donald Trump has said, I'll protect women whether they like it or not. I'm not really sure what that means, to be honest. And I'm pretty sure women don't appreciate it. And not that I want to go down the road of abortion, but this issue has consumed this country for a long time. Roe v. Wade was the law of the land for many years that was essentially flipped with the Dobbs decision, with a heavily conservative Supreme Court. Many states have protected those abortion rights. Many states have not. And in Florida, in today's election, they didn't overturn their six-week abortion ban. And having talked to enough women, most women don't even know they're pregnant at 6 weeks. So it's sort of the stiffest lean-in on women's health rights that you could possibly imagine. I did an event last week, and I was talking about, somebody asked a question about abortion, women's health, and all those things. And I said, look, senior white male, you can take it for what it's worth. I can't put myself in the shoes of a woman. I can't understand the things that they deal with. And I've said from day one on the show, women are smarter than men. And I said last week, women experience things that guys, if they had to experience those things, they say, no, not doing it. That's the reality, first off. We have to figure out this issue. And if the president means what he said, the former president, now president-elect Donald Trump, means what he says about this issue, that it's up to the states, that's probably where it's going to sit for a while. And if you happen to live in a state that has protected abortion, you're good. But if you're a woman who's in a state that hasn't, this is a game changer for you. To the point where we may see women and families deciding to relocate based on that policy, based on those laws. And that's a reality that I don't think a lot of people have faced yet. So this is my sort of pep talk. We're going to spend a lot of time in the weeks ahead digesting this race, the results. Hopefully we don't drag this out. But we are prepared to go forward with another term of Donald Trump, a Senate controlled by Republicans, and from most things I've been reading as I'm doing the show, a House that's also led by Republicans, which probably more likely than not means Speaker Mike Johnson. That's a lot of power in the hands of one party. If you're a Republican, you're jumping up and down. I saw a picture of Reince Priebus on the TV, and he can't be any happier. My friend Bill McCosken, who, by the way, correctly predicted this, and he will get all the love and respect he deserves on Friday, because although I thought he was just towing the company line, he apparently knew something. And as a smart guy, that's not surprising. And we'll talk about that on Friday, what this means, where we go next. But as you go about your day, keep in mind that not everybody's happy today. And I'll say this because I say this a lot on my show and I get beat up all the time, but I don't care. This idea that we're at war with each other has to stop. It ruins relationships. It ruins families. It's a anchor, emotional anchor, physical anchor, that just makes everything harder, more difficult, where neighbors can't talk to each other. And yes, there's always gloating after election. Yeah, you won, blah, blah, blah. And if there's one thing that I would like to see is that we just sort of step back from that. Donald Trump's going to be president for 4 more years. Pretty sure this country's going to be around longer than 4 years. And we have to reconcile those things. And I take nothing away from my Republican friends who supported Donald Trump, because that was your person and he won the race fair and square. And I'll say this again. Maybe this puts to bed in some weird way all of the election conspiracy nonsense, because I'm guessing we're not going to hear a lot about that given the results. Although, as I said before, the Hubdy Baldwin race might just challenge that equation or that idea. After the break, I welcome your calls and texts, 855-616-1620. anything's fair game. I'm going to do a lot of conversation related to these races. I'm going to go over each swing state, tell you what I think's happening, where we're at this moment. We are still waiting for those Milwaukee votes that may or may not. It's going to be close in the Tammy Baldwin, Eric Hovde race. I've met Eric Hovde probably three or four times, had him on the show. I was impressed by him. I've talked to Tammy Baldwin probably a dozen or more times. That's a big race because we go from having one Democrat and one Republican to potentially two Republicans that are both very conservative. And that equation certainly helps the Republican strength in Washington. It'd be interesting to see what it does to the power and the impact here in the state of Wisconsin. So a busy 2 hours ahead. You're going to be part of that conversation, 855-616-1620. As I said before, I'm doing two more hours, then we'll be joined. I'm sure Eric and maybe Vince will join me for a little bit of that last hour. Then I'm coming back after a couple hours of shut-eye. I feel good right now. 9 to 11, expanded edition of the Political Power Hour on 620 WTMJ. Looking forward to that as well. I'm going to talk about a lot of things. I've got some notes already put together just from the conversations tonight. Text me, 855-616-1620. The news is next on 620 WTMJ.